I'm reading a verse of Scripture from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 11. If you would like to follow in your Bibles, I invite you to open them there to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 11. My subject today is Christ is all. Christ is all. In Colossians 3, verse 11, the Scripture says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Now that's the text. Christ is all and in all, and that's the topic. Christ is all. Now, I realize that there are many people listening to me who do not understand what we mean when we say that Christ is all. I was watching a documentary on Protestantism, religion, a few days ago, and the man who was interviewing the different preachers asked one of them, "What is salvation? What does it mean to be saved?" And interestingly enough, that preacher could not really define salvation. He talked about heaven, he talked about hell, he talked about gaining one and escaping the other, but he failed miserably to tell that man what it is to be saved. And I thought, while I listened to that and watched that program, I wonder how clear we do make our messages. Do people understand what we're saying? Do they really understand? Well, if not in their hearts, at least in their heads, what we're saying. What do we mean? Christ is all and in all. Now, it's not enough just to say that and go on by it and leave people in the dark. I realize many do not really know what we mean by that, Christ is all. And I realize many do not know what Paul meant. They do not understand what he meant when he said, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Or what he meant when he said, "We preach Christ and him crucified." Well, let me try today to tell you what we mean when we say Christ is all. And what I mean when I say Christ is all. Now, let's begin this way. I realize that there are a lot of people in this world to whom Jesus Christ is nothing, absolutely nothing. He rarely enters into their thoughts, and his name is rarely expressed on their lips, except perhaps to swear by or to curse by. But they never think about Jesus Christ. He's nothing to them at all. Jesus Christ is nothing, absolutely nothing to them. He's a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. There's no beauty about him that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's all true. He's really nothing. They never think about him. They never talk about him, except perhaps to use his name as a swear word or a curse word. But Jesus Christ, to most people, is nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, secondly, to some people, Jesus Christ is something. He's something, but he's not much. That's why he's something. To them, he's a great prophet. He's a great teacher. He's a great preacher. He's a great healer. Even those who lived in his day, who hated him, who despised him, who finally nailed him to a cross, even they said, he was a prophet. Even many of them called him master. Some of them called him rabbi. But to them, he was something. Great philosopher, great reformer, great teacher, great healer. But really not much. Something, but not much. The founder, somebody says, of a great religion called Christianity. Just like Buddha founded Buddhism and Mohammed founded Mohammedism and Jesus Christ founded Christianity. So he's something. He's something. But not much. All right, thirdly, there are many people to whom Jesus Christ is much. Yes, sir, he's much, very important, but not all. What the Bible says is Christ is all. It doesn't say Christ is something, but not much. It doesn't say Christ is much, but not all. It says he's all, and you know. But to them, he's much. But he's not all. Now, here's what they mean by that. They're anxious to get to heaven. They're anxious to gain heaven. They're anxious to miss hell. But they must admit that they have some shortcomings. And so they used the merits of Jesus Christ to make up these shortcomings. Their robe is almost long enough. Not quite. And so they add Christ to their works. They add Christ to their faith. They add Christ to their creed. They add Christ to their duties. They add Christ to their ceremonies. They add Christ to their rituals. Oh, he's much, but not all. He's much, but he's not all. Their robe is almost long enough, but not quite long enough, and Jesus Christ takes up what they lack. He died on the cross, they say, to make it possible for them to get to heaven by their faith, or by their works, or by their effort. Just like those people in Matthew 7 we talked about last week. He was much to them. They said, well, we preached in your name. We cast out devils in your name. It was in your name we did these things. It was in your name that we did these many wonderful works. But he said, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You see, to them Christ was much because they preached in his name, built churches in his name, cast out devils in his name, but he never knew them. They were cast out of his presence. Though to him he was much, but not all. And then fourthly, now watch this. To many people, Christ is all in some things. He is all in some things, but not all in all things. Not all in all. Christ is all and in all. But to them, he's all in something. Now, he's all in justification. It is by his blood that we're cleansed, they say. It's by his blood that we're forgiven. It's by his blood that we're pardoned. It's by his blood that we're made sons of God. So justification is by Christ. All of it's by Christ. We're saved by his blood totally. But our sanctification, now that's up to us. That depends on our efforts. That depends on our sanctification. That depends on our righteousness. That depends upon our holiness. We go to Calvary for forgiveness. We go to Sinai for sanctification. Christ is all in justification, but sanctification depends upon me. Christ is all in redemption. We're saved by the blood. God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. But when it comes to perseverance, I've got to hold out by my own efforts. I've got to meet the law, got to keep the law. I've got to hold out by my loyalty, by my faithfulness, by my perseverance. It depends on me to work out my own salvation. That's totally in my hands. Now, Christ is all in justification, they say. But he's not all in sanctification. That's the law. That's my work. He's all in redemption. But he's not all in perseverance. That depends upon me and my loyalty to God's commandments. Fifthly, but there's some people, thank God, and this to me is the way the Bible presents salvation. There's some people to whom Jesus Christ is all and in all. Paul so wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God, Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Christ. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In Colossians 2:9-10, he wrote, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Not plus works, not plus faith, not plus perseverance, not plus righteousness. You're complete in Christ. That's what Paul said. And then in John 15:5, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. I'm your life. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you appear with him in glory. He's everything. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He is all of my wisdom. He is all of my righteousness. He's all of my sanctification. He's all of my redemption. Without him, I can do nothing. I have nothing. I know nothing. I never shall do anything. Because in the flesh, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh, Paul said, no man can please God. Doesn't matter whether it's an apostle or whether it's an evangelist or whether it's a pastor or a deacon or a faithful, loyal Sunday school teacher. In the flesh, no man can please God. Christ is all. That's what I mean by Christ is all. To some, he's nothing. To some, he's something, but not much. To some, he's much, but not all. To some, he's all in some things. But to the believer, he's everything. You go back to the covenant mercies, back before the foundation of this world, and the Scripture says we were chosen in Christ. Go all the way back, roll time back, to the time that the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, and even before then, in the council halls of eternity, God Almighty determined to save a people. And right then, he gave them to Christ. And Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ is the surety of the everlasting covenant. Christ is the blood of the everlasting covenant. In covenant mercies, Christ is all. All right? In justification. Peter said, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Redemption is the unaided work of the Son of God. He loved me and he gave himself for me. I made no contribution to my justification in any shape, form, or fashion. There is nothing of the creature that has entered in to the redemptive work on Calvary's cross. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. In justification, Christ is all. In sanctification, the Scripture says he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made perfected the righteousness of God in him. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Yes, sir, in sanctification, God doesn't see my holiness. I have none. He sees Christ's holiness. By Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners. By Christ's obedience, the many were made righteous. God Almighty doesn't look at me and weigh my good deeds against my bad deeds and see how I come out. He looks to Christ, and Christ is my righteousness. You know, even the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 of the books of the New Testament, 13 out of 27, who founded many churches, who was the first missionary, who was an apostle, who was taken to the third heaven. You know what he said? Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God which is in Jesus Christ my Lord. Now, brother, if you want to stand on your sanctification or your good deeds robed in your holiness before the searchlight of a holy law of a holy God, you go right ahead, but I want to be robed in Christ's righteousness. That's the wedding garment. He's all. And then in perseverance, Christ is all. He keeps me from falling. Now in the Him that is able to keep you from falling. I don't keep myself. The church doesn't keep me. He keeps me. Yes, sir, he keeps us by his power, by his glory. He keeps by his power through faith, we're kept. And then in communion. What about communion with God? John talked about our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Brethren, let me tell you something. We're accepted in the Beloved. That's right. God does not accept us on the basis of our goodness. We have none. He accepts us in the Beloved. It's because of Christ that God can love you. It's because of Christ that God can accept you. It's because of Christ that God can call you a son. It's because of Christ that Almighty God can look with favor upon you. If it weren't for Christ, he'd have to turn his back on you like he did his son on Calvary's cross when his son was bearing your sins. Our fellowship is with the Father, but it's through the Son. What about love? Well, Scripture says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where God's love is. It's in Christ. Outside of Christ, our God is a consuming fire. That's right. Severed from the vine, your withered branches fit for the burning. What about glory? We're seated with him. That's right. We're seated in heaven. Of course we are in Christ. What about heaven? We'll reign with Christ and we'll be joint heirs with Christ. That's what I mean when I say Christ is all. from the eternal covenant of mercies in the beginning until the very last day of eternity, which shall never dawn, Christ is all. This is what we mean. Christ is all. Christ is all in my justification and my sanctification. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the first steps of faith, and he's the last step. There's not one point. Now you listen to this. There is not one point between the gate of hell and the gate of heaven in which the creature can say, this depends on me. Not one point. Not one point between the gate of hell and the gate of heaven where the creature can say, I must rely on my own efforts. God's left me on my own. We're always viewed in Christ. We're always accepting the Beloved. We're always washed in the blood. We're always represented by the Mediator who intercedes for us. From the dunghill of our corruption to the perfection of God's glory, it's all Christ. It's not my faithfulness, it's His. It's not my grace, it's His. It's not my righteousness, it's His. It's not my blood, it's His. It's not my love, it's His. Our salvation begins with Christ, continues with Christ, and it shall be complete when we're conformed to His image. And brother, in that day we're going to sing, unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, to Him be the glory, both now and forever. You're not going to praise a church. You're not going to praise a preacher. You're not going to praise mom and daddy. You're not going to praise a soul winner. You're going to praise the Lord, because salvation is of the Lord. Christ is all of your salvation. Now, this is a distinction that marks a true believer. My friends, a religionist is known by his doctrine. You can spot a religionist. A religionist is known by his doctrine or perhaps by his denomination. He's a devout religionist. And then a moralist can be spotted by his standards. He has a particular standard. It depends a whole lot on what part of the world he lives in. It depends a whole lot on what type of personality he has. It depends a whole lot on what type of people he runs around with. But a moralist can be identified by his laws and standards. And then a ceremonialist can be distinguished by his rituals, by keeping certain holy days. He may keep Saturday. He may keep Sunday. He may worship on Easter or Christmas or Lent or Thanksgiving Day or Halloween or All Saints Day. He'll have his days, though, and he'll have his rituals, and he'll have his dress, and he'll have his signs to make and all these things. You can tell a ceremonialist all these things are predominant, distinctive. And then a revivalist. You can tell a revivalist by his experiences, by his decisions, by his feelings, by his emotions, by his excitement. How do you tell a believer? How do you distinguish a Christian? A Christian is distinguished by the union, the relationship which he has with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one with Christ. That's right. That's how you tell a believer. You don't tell him by his dress. He dresses like everybody else. You don't tell him by his laws and standards, although he walks by the law of God. You do not tell him by his ritualism or ceremonialism or by his denomination. You tell him by this. You identify him by this. This is what makes him different. This is what's distinctive about him. He has a living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is his Lord. That's right. He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If we're molded, listen to this, we're molded into the knowledge of him who created us after the image of Christ. And in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. Watch this. There's neither ceremony, circumcision or uncircumcision. There's neither riches or poverty, neither slavery or freedom, neither barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is everything. In closing this message, let me give you a definition of Christ is all in this way, a threefold application of this truth. Now watch this first of all. He says Christ is all and in all. He's everything. Alpha and Omega, author and finisher of our faith. Now he says in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. In other words, there's no national distinction in Christ. No national distinction. Now down here on this earth, in the flesh, we may be black or white. We may be yellow, we may be red, we may be Italians, we may be Jews, we may be Americans, we may be Africans. But in Christ, there's no national distinction. We're all brothers. That's right, neither Greek nor Jew. In Christ is all. Nationalities don't count. Nationalities aren't important. Color and races are nothing. Christ is the king. Christ has the preeminence. Christ is the important one. You see, in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew. The Greeks didn't have much for the Jews, and the Jews didn't have much for the Greeks until they were converted. And then when they were saved, when they came to knowledge of Christ, when they were made one with the Savior, those national distinctions just faded away. Just faded away. They didn't exist anymore. You don't measure a man by his color, his race, or his nationality when you come to know Christ. You're brothers. You're one in Christ. And he's everything. You're nothing. You're nothing. He's everything. And then in Christ, there's no ceremonial distinction. Oh, I know back in the Old Testament, the Jew circumcised his son when he was 8 days old. That made him a Jew. The chosen people, the chosen race, the people of the tabernacle, the people of the prophets. But in Christ, there's neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. There's no denominationalism. There's no division in Christ. There's no, you have this right and I have the other right. You have this form and I have the other form, so we don't have anything to do with one another. Oh, no. Oh, no. We're one in Christ. He's all. When Christ is the Redeemer, he's everything. And these ceremonies cease to exist. They just fade away into nothingness. We don't put any emphasis on them anymore in these things that distinguish us. God's broken down that middle wall of partition between Jew and Gentile, and it doesn't exist anymore. And the harlot's son in Christ is just as blessed and just as important as the preacher's son in Christ. There are no ceremonial differences. In Christ, there are no social differences. Now listen, in Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. There's neither barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. In other words, there's neither cultured nor uncultured in Christ. There's neither rich nor poor. There's neither educated nor uneducated. When Christ becomes everything to you, when he becomes all, you don't measure a man by his education. Oh, I know it's terrible in this day. We've got a class system in England, America, and everywhere else. You know, this is the upper rung of the social ladder, and so-and-so's on the bottom rung, and I'm cultured, and he's uncultured, and I'm couth, and he's uncouth, and I'm tactful, and he's untactful, and I can't have anything to do with him, and I don't want to be seen talking to him, and he can't help me any, and he can't add to my prestige, and he has no influence. Boy, on that. In Christ, there's neither bond nor free. There's neither slave nor master. In Christ, they're brethren. Now, if you don't know anything about this, you've missed Christ. And I'll tell you quite frankly and plainly, as I know how to talk, in Christ, national distinctions don't exist. You can't hate any race. You can't have bigotry and prejudice against any human being if you're in Christ. There are no ceremonial differences. There are no social differences in Christ. James says, if a man comes in your church in ragged clothes, you sit him on the front row. If a man comes in rich apparel, don't you make over him. You make over that poor man. That rich fellow doesn't need you to make over him. He's got enough friends. This man needs you. That's right. Quit showing partiality. You won't show partiality when your eyes are on Christ. Men are nothing. But no matter how they're dressed, men are nothing. No matter how they talk, men are nothing. No matter what they have. They won't have anything when they leave here. They're going to leave it all right back here for God to burn up. And naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going out of this world, and naked all men are alike. And that's what he's saying here. Christ is all. I tell you something else. Christ is all my past, present, and future. From the day before I was born, Christ was all. That's right. He said, Paul said this, he said, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. That's what he said to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet. That's a fur piece back, isn't it, huh? But that's what God says. Christ was all then, and he's all now. Christ is all in my presence. He's my high priest that right now intercedes for me at the right hand of God. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is also seated at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for me. I'm nothing. Christ is all. I exist by his grace. I live by his grace. God hears me by his grace. Christ intercedes. And in the future, who do you think is going to raise me from the grave? When this body dies and they put it in a coffin and put it in a vault and put dirt on top of it, who's going to bring this decayed, rotten, filthy flesh out of the tomb in the newness of his resurrection, huh? In the glory of his resurrection. Christ's going to have to do it. And he's all in the resurrection. He said, because I live, ye shall live. He's all in eternity past. He's all of my present. And he's all I've got in the future. The disciples said, Lord, he said, will you go away? And they said, to whom? I don't have any place to go. Do you? Can't go to the church. It can't help me. Can't turn to the law. All the law can do is condemn me. I can't turn to the flesh. I'll turn to Christ because he's all I need. He's all I need. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He healeth all thy diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. He crowneth thee with loving kindness. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Yes, sir. Jesus Christ is all and in all. And that's what I need.